Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope fans. Jared and Shane here with another Scope movie review. My family's in the back, and we are just back, speaking of the word back, Jared, from not a sneak preview, but a regular paid screening of the latest Hunger Games movie, The Mockingjay, Part 1.
Part 1 of 2.
Part 1 of 2.
Or they, 7. We don't know.
They decided to split this film into a number of pieces, and we were privy to the first edition. The first section, if you will.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi.
Hey, Audrey. Welcome to the movie review. Okay. This is the part of the show when Jared will explain to us who is in the film and what the film is about.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to pass it off to you, Jared.
Well, all of your favorite Hunger Games people return.
Yep.
Your Hemsworths, your Lawrences, your Harrelsons.
I like how Hemsworth gets top billing.
Yeah, that's what I got.
And they're hungrier than ever in this
film. They
are
hungrier.
They're getting a lot of slop.
The District 12 has been razed to the ground, but we've got new faces as well. We've got Julianne Moore back as President Alma Coyne. Philip Seymour Hoffman returns, and I don't know if this is his final film appearance, but it's one of his final ones.
Well, he will be in part two.
He will be, yes, but they shot him at the same time.
They did.
Jeffrey Wright is there as BT. I love Jeffrey Wright. Can I just say that?
Bunch of Miriam.
I don't know. Who else is new? We've got, what's her name from Game of Thrones? Natalie Dormer is back as Cressida. But she's a new face.
With a shaved-in head that's got a little bit of flair on it.
Got some flair.
Like a plant
tattoos.
Flair.
There's more faces. I'm sure you can look them up on your IMDb page. But basically, we're picking up right after Catching Fire ends, and the tributes have been rescued from the arena, although some have been captured. PETA and Annie Cressida, who is Finnick's lady, and Joanna Mason have all been captured, and they're prisoners of the Capitol, and unspeakable things are probably happening to them.
Yep.
Meanwhile, in District 13, Katniss is sort of struggling to adjust to this new reality that... They're in a district they didn't know existed, and this district is very militaristic and all underground. And so you've got a bit of a slow burn at the beginning, sort of setting the scene and characters adjusting to their new surroundings.
Yes.
But eventually it is decided that by Plutarch Heavensby and President Coyne that they need to do some propaganda. And the face of their propaganda, of course, is going to be... Katniss Everdeen.
The Girl on Fire.
The Girl on Fire, the Mockingjay. She's going to be this rallying point that they're going to use to sort of mobilize everyone in all the districts to rise up against the Capitol and bring down President Snow.
Yes.
And so she reluctantly goes along. She's got some stipulations, and that is that all the tributes that have been captured need to be rescued.
And? Her sister keeps the cat.
Yes, her sister keeps the cat.
So two stipulations.
And that's basically our story. Our story is them creating the Mockingjay character who will be used. And you start to see more uprisings around the various districts.
You see more districts, and essentially this is a setup for the final battle between the people and Panem, as Julianne Moore says.
Panem. Yes. And you also get to sort of see the picture that maybe President Coyne isn't 100% virtuous either.
Yeah, everyone has
their
own agenda.
So
we'll see how
it's
that
a complicated
plays
world.
So, Jared, you've done a fine job of explaining to fans what the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 is. Let's talk about what we feel in terms of this film. I can say that since the movie is already out, the critical reviews have been a little hit or miss on this.
Okay.
Maybe the movie's not performing, at least initially, is what they thought, but it's still doing very well. That being said, I actually like the film quite a bit.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the Hunger Games films was this idea of a world that is like ours but different. And of all three films, this one does the best job in building out that world. You're seeing more of what's going on. You're seeing more of the people.
You're seeing more and less. A lot of it takes place underground in District 13. And when they do visit the other districts, you're kind of only seeing little bits of it.
Sure.
But then again, they don't necessarily need to do the big sweeping shots, the big grand scape of the districts that, like they did in the other films. Because we kind of know at this point. So they can kind of cut in and show you little bits and pieces.
But yeah, I mean, that is essentially the backbone of this film. It's preparation. It's political intrigue. It's emotional upheaval.
Sorry, move the camera a little bit.
No problem. And I appreciated that. And I mean, you definitely do not have the set action pieces that you saw in the first two films.
No, you get a couple of it. I mean,
little bits.
Yeah, but most, as you said, this is set up for the next half, which is going to be, I presume, very action heavy. Yeah.
If it follows the book, it will be the assault on the Capitol.
Yes.
Question for you,
Elizabeth Banks. Yep.
Was
Effie Trinket?
Was Effie a big part of the third book, or did they bring her?
She was there.
Okay, because for some reason I feel like that's one of the major differences, but I could be completely wrong on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think some of the staging of some of the events is different, but I think overall they've got most of the
important
stuff. They've cut out a bunch of training stuff that was in the books that's sort of unnecessary to a film. Yeah, overall I really enjoyed it as well. I mean, we're at a point now with special effects where, I mean, why even bother talking about them? They're so good.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as
there's
as
a
I was
shot
watching.
Where they, when they visit, was it District 8, 12? I forget. I think it was 12 when she went back to 12 for the first time, where it's one continuous shot. They're coming down in their little hover plane thing, and they land, and Katniss gets off, and the door closes behind, and the thing flies away, and then she continues on in the shot. And you know that's a special effects shot, but it's so seamless.
And it's in the daytime.
And it's daytime, and it's just so well done.
I'm happy that the Tony Stark is lending out the Avengers jet to every movie, so that's a good thing.
Quinn jets for everyone. We've upped the game.
Yeah, I mean, it really is on point when you talk about special effects not being so special anymore. The seamlessness of how they're integrated is pretty amazing.
Yep.
And it just, you accept it as real. It's impressive.
Absolutely.
So, Jared liked it, I liked it, Audrey, go ahead, Jared.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I liked it. If anything, this suffers from the fact that it's a setup to the next part.
Yeah.
And it's, you get the Empire Strikes Back ending where you just sort of cut things off, and now you got to wait a year for the next one. And you hope that it stands on its own, and I think for the most part it does. Although we have the expectations of more to come, so.
Yes.
You know, it's a little weird to sort of evaluate it on its own merits, because it is part one of two, but. Yeah.
I agree.
If there's any shortcoming, it's that we didn't get the big resolution because... Why are you showing pictures on...
This is me. This is me as a fourth grade Boy Scout.
Great.
No, show it.
Makes perfect sense.
Show Dad.
Are you going to be tribute now because you're young? I don't
know. Audrey, do you have an opinion of this film, please? Chime in. You don't know.
Bye.
You're the worst scope guest ever.
You want to be on, and then as soon as the camera rolls, done.
Ghost Carrie, do you have anything to say?
I thought it was good, but a lot of setup.
Right on. Great performances.
Go. But I liked it.
Yeah. Everyone was on point. I think that the quality level is as good as any of the other three. I'm excited to see how it plays out, even though we know how it plays out.
We know.
But
you and I have talked about this. They've got some interesting choices to make in part two. If you've read the book, you're kind of aware of what's to come down the road when they start assaulting the Capitol. Yeah. And how...
Some weird, crazy crap.
Some weird, crazy crap is coming, and it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of ground it and make it real for the film, because I don't know that it was successful in the books, so...
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that. We're talking about part one.
We are.
And since we are talking about part one, we should probably give it a score.
The Scoop score is... 3 stars.
3 stars!
It's unanimous.
That's pretty good. Unanimous across all four of us in the mobile studio... It's very, very exciting. So, part one, go see it. It holds up.
If you've seen the first two, obviously you're going to have to see this.
I mean,
you're not going to be like, nah, I'm done. Although, there might be people in the audience who are like, you know what? I didn't really like the fact that they went back to the arena. Well, you don't have to worry about that on this one.
There's no arena.
There's no arena.
So, Jared, tell all of our Scope fans how they can get in touch with us, how they can communicate with us, how they can be a part of the Scope process.
Wow, you make it sound so grand and important. You can like, comment, and subscribe.
That's it.
Link's right down below.
That's right. So for Carrie, Audrey, Jared, I'm Shane. Scope movie review over. We'll be back as the winter goes along with a lot more movie reviews. Very exciting. So we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.